All right. So I have to begin by saying that I have no personal financial relationship to disclose. Okay. So let's begin with a definition. As many of you may be familiar, the most standard definition is that health literacy is defined as the degree to which individuals have the capacity to not only obtain and process, but also understand basic health information and services needed to make appropriate health decisions. Now, I added the Affordable Care Act definition that added the word communicate, which I really like to this definition because that introduces the fact that it is sort of a dialogue, and to engage between patients and clients and healthcare practitioners, I think, is an important distinction. And health literacy is significant for a lot of reasons, but I think probably the most powerful phrase is up here, that health literacy is a stronger predictor of health than age, income, employment, education, and race. I mean, that's a pretty significant statement. Poor health literacy affects all levels of the healthcare experience, from patient-provider communications to ability to access and navigate the healthcare system. And poor health literacy also perpetuates preventable disease and effective disease management. Now, the field of health literacy has grown tremendously over the past decade plus. But interestingly enough, most health literacy research doesn't explicitly focus on food or nutrition. And therefore, you find a lot of dietetic practitioners remaining unaware of patients' level of health literacy. So the purpose of the systematic review was to look at the intersection of nutrition and health literacy, identify the research gaps, and then define opportunities for future research. The methodology that we took over was really looking at three main approaches. Literature searches using six electronic databases, the basic Medline, PubMed, Cigna, CINAHL, the Nursing Index, Expanded Academic ASP, Web of Science, etc. We also did something called backward searching, so looking at the literature and the references that were listed there and looking at them in more detail. And then we also did some hand searching as well. Initially, we used seven search terms in different combinations to look through each of the databases. And then we also looked at the medical subject headings for further detail to get additional information. Inclusion criteria were English language, presentation of primary data, specifying a defined readability or health literacy measure, and making sure that there was a specific nutrition-related outcome, and we focused on adults, not in children. So we ended up going through a systematic review of the literature in this way, listing the articles in each of the databases. Those that were available for full review were identified by two independent reviewers. We compared the lists and then collapsed all the materials together so that there were no duplicates. And then we developed a data matrix to facilitate the review process. Initially, there were a total of 892 citations. And subsequently, we added another 63 citations that took us through 2012. So our final total was 255 citations. And of those, we got 38 that were relevant to include in this review. And they fell into three broad categories. There were 16 readability studies. There were also 16 in the other category of nutrition-related health literacy studies. And finally, six in measurement development. And I'll explain each of these in more detail. But here's a, it looks a lot better on my screen than it does up here. So this is just a schematic, again, starting with the 955. Many of them were screened out based on title and abstract alone. 111 were available for full review, and many of those were excluded primarily because they didn't specify either a readability or a health literacy measure. So that was not specified. They may have mentioned that they attended to low literacy demands, but they didn't exactly, they didn't specify how they did that. So of our final sample of 38, the readability studies were both print and internet. The nutrition-related health literacy studies were experimental and non-experimental. And then we had the separate category for measurement development. So let's look at each one of those in a little bit more detail. Now, Websites, as you know, are increasingly popular as a source of healthcare information. Now, many of the readability assessments were not designed for websites, they were designed for print materials, but have been used and are applicable for websites as well, so we did include those. And the readability assessments that we found fell into six categories that were used either alone or in combination. And let me stop for a moment to just explain. Readability, when I say readability, it's how comprehensive is the material, and it's based on grade level index. So for example, we often hear that something is written at an eighth grade reading level. That's what I mean when I talk about readability. So these are the readability assessments that we found. Now you may or may not be familiar with these. In essence, readability assessments look at average sentence length, the number of syllables that are in each word, the word length as well. And my favorite is the last one, the simplified measure of gobbledygook. I mean, I really wish I had thought of that name because it's a terrific name. And it is actually one of the more popular measures of readability. And that goes beyond what some of the others do. It looks at word length, but it also estimates the number of years of education to understand the text. So it assesses comprehension. All right, so what did we find? Of the 16 readability studies, 11 were print-based, and they examined anywhere from a single print material to over 230 materials. The mean grade level, as indicated here, is 1.8 to 15.8. So what does that mean? That means that the grade level equivalent is about from second grade to some college. So there's a huge range of the readability of the materials that were examined in these studies. But seven of these studies were written at a ninth grade level or higher. For the internet-based studies, there was, again, anywhere from 1 to 150 health-related websites that were examined. When the readability assessments were done on these, it was about a ninth grade reading level up to some college. And interestingly, there was one study by Sutherland and colleague that looked at 150 health-related websites, and consistently the readability of that material was above the 10th grade level. So the significance of this, the findings here, are that most materials are written at a ninth grade level or higher, and in general, internet-based materials are written even higher. And most adults read at an eighth grade level, but about 20% of the U.S. population reads at or below the fifth grade level. So there's a huge disconnect with the level that the materials are written at and the level at which your patients, your clients, community members are reading at. So this is a significant finding. All right, let's move on to the nutrition-related health literacy studies. Now the switch here is that we're focusing now on individual literacy, so personal literacy level of an individual. And so as I mentioned before, this included both experimental and non-experimental studies. And there were seven health literacy assessment measures that were used, again, alone or in combination with each other. And for those of you who aren't familiar with health literacy assessments, it's everything from standard reading tests for adult basic education to brief screening tests for functional health literacy, reading comprehension, and word recognition and pronunciation. So they all do something a little bit different. And I'm not going to go into detail about the measures, but if anybody wants more information, I'd be happy to chat with you about it. All right, so what did we find? Among the seven experimental studies, the sample sizes ranged from almost 30 to over 350 participants. Dose and duration of the interventions were anywhere from a one-time intervention to an ongoing intervention over a period of 12 months. And overall, what we found is that those interventions that had low literacy materials as compared to controls showed improvements in nutrition knowledge. There were mixed results, however, in self-reported eating and no effect on nutrition-related anthropometric or biological outcomes that were noted. Among the non-experimental studies, which included cross-sectional studies, those that were purely qualitative and those had mixed methods, which is qualitative and quantitative, again, a huge range in sample size between 10 and 224 participants. But what we found, in essence, was that health literacy skills correlated well with portion size estimation and seeking out and trusting nutrition information and sources. And what I mean by that is those with higher health literacy skills tended to have a better ability to estimate portion size and were more likely to seek out and trust nutrition information sources. So overall, what we found here is that there is some correlation, although it's mixed, there is some correlation between health literacy skills and some nutrition-specific skills, including portion size estimation, understanding nutrition labels, and, as I said, seeking out and trusting information, nutrition information. There were also some improvements in nutrition knowledge in some of the studies. So now the final category of measurement development. And these were, there were six studies focusing on the development process of measures. They looked, some of them looked at preliminary feasibility testing, descriptive findings, psychometrics, et cetera. And six of the measures that were described are here. And these include a range of measures, everything from short assessment measures that had six items, like the newest vital sign has six items and it takes about 3 minutes, to others that have 28 or 24 items that take longer. And some of them are untimed. And in general, what we found for the psychometric properties, looking at reliability scores as measured by Cronbach's alpha, they ranged anywhere from sort of the mid 0.7 to 0.8, 0.85, 0.89. So they had good reliability scores. And the last one, number six, we're going to wait for Heather to talk more about. And so the key findings that we found here were that there is quite a range of measurement development out there. There are brief screening measures, and these are important because they reduce the respondent burden. There are tools to measure disease-specific conditions and audiences. So you have specific measures, for example, for diabetes, for cardiovascular disease. And there are measures focusing on specific nutrition-related outcomes. There's the label survey, the literacy scale, and then we have Heather's that focuses specifically on health, or excuse me, on nutrition literacy. Now, despite the approach that we took and the process that we went through, there were some limitations. The most significant limitation is when we looked at all this literature and we looked at the spectrum of what we had, there was such a huge variation in the study design and methodology. So as I mentioned, the number and the type of measures that were used, sometimes alone, sometimes in combination with each other, the number of materials that were reviewed, the number of participants that were in each study. So as a result of all of this disparity, using a standardized quality control rating was not feasible. So it was a systematic approach going through these materials, but there was no rating system that we were able to employ because of it. Despite those limitations, there were four noteworthy gaps in the literature that we identified. The first one is the need for more comprehensive assessment approaches. Health literacy is a relatively new field. It's not surprising, therefore, that there's discussion, ongoing discussion, about the types of measures that need to be developed. And there is no one measure at this point in time that captures the full spectrum of health literacy skills, which includes print, oral literacy, numeracy, and all within a cultural context. So each of them focuses on a somewhat different aspect of health literacy. As I mentioned before, traditionally, reliable measures have been time-consuming, and there's a heavy respondent burden. So there's a need, these brief screening assessment tools do make a difference. So potentially, as a next step, there's the hope that perhaps there'll be inclusion of these health literacy measures in the electronic medical record, which I think will facilitate the patient-provider communication and allow health professionals to have a more engaged and meaningful conversation with patients. Another gap that we found is a real need for more robust experimental studies. Studies that are adequately powered, that are theoretically driven, is key. And looking to expand the research across this whole broad spectrum, so looking, there's a lot of clinical-based studies, but also looking at community-based approaches, and Jamie will talk a little bit more about that, but also looking at a systems approach. So because of this really big need that's quite broad, there is a need also to collaborate with a multidisciplinary research team to adequately address these broad questions. The third gap that we found is a real need for exploring both moderating and mediating roles of health literacy. So specifically understanding how health literacy interventions across the groups with varying different levels of literacy skills are understood. How does health literacy moderate that? And also, how do changes in health literacy mediate changes in health-related outcomes? We're still looking into this, and we're still finding out the information. And then finally, examining the long-term effects of health literacy intervention, specifically looking at dietary behaviors, anthropometric and biological outcomes, and then looking at this also within the context of cultural considerations and socioeconomic factors. So there's a lot of work to be done. So what can you all do right now? Certainly supporting the use of existing or the development of new metrics. If you conduct research yourself or with you're working with colleagues, bringing this up and having this on the table as part of the discussion. Become familiar with the assessment screening tools that are out there. So if you are dealing with the public, community members, patients, clinics, clients, look to see the extent to which the materials that you and your colleagues are using is matching with the needs and the understanding of the patients that you work with, of the people that you work with. There are skill development workshops on health literacy, and there's online trainings available. I know that the CDC and AHRQ have some online health literacy skill development sessions, which are really helpful. So, just want to again acknowledge Jamie as my co-author. We also had editorial assistance for the first publication that we had on this that has since been developed more fully from a number of people and colleagues who worked with us along the way. So with that, I'm going to turn things over.